Ready for Ritz.
Okay.
Anybody.
Tanya, wide open at G4. We're holding in chapter 4 of Tanya. And it's Hanukkah. Tafshin Pei Hei.
Yitzi Katz isn't down. 3.
Yeah. Everybody feel free to shout out to Yitzi Katz.
4.
Yitzi Katz.
Okay, I was thinking about doing this. Let's do like this. I forgot your name. So what was your name?
Yuri.
Yachmel. Can you describe, look at Yuri's eyes and describe them to me, please? Do you mind?
Me?
Yuri, look at me.
Yeah.
Oh, they're just like pools of...
Pools?
I had a project call yesterday.
Amazing.
I had a project call yesterday.
Squares are like, yeah.
They're round. They are. They're dark brown with a bluish, the dark bluish like aura around it.
Round, dark brown.
Bluish. It's like a bluish, dark bluish.
I think we got the idea. Basically,
so physical.
If we were to ask anybody in the class to describe the person's eyes next to you, it would be something along those lines. Yeah, they're blue or brown, and then you'll describe how if they're bright or if they're dark, the structure within, etc. Yeah, but that's not actually the eye. That's the iris. The actual eye is just a black circle. That's really that's like the business part of the eye. Yeah, the iris is the blades of the aperture. If anyone knows about photography, yeah? You have an aperture, like you have the lens, it lets light in, and then you have an aperture that crunches down that allows more or less light in. All it is just it depends how many blades, 5 to 8 blades, that kind of crunch down and just let in less light. So a very small aperture would just let in a teeny bit of light. But that's why your pupil dilates. When you're in a dark place, your pupil dilates, means your pupil gets bigger. If you look at the person next to you now, their pupil is much larger than if you were to go outside on a bright day, the pupil would be very, very small. It constricts. So that the colourful bit of the eye is just the blades of the aperture. It's just the part around that stops down and opens up. How important is that? I mean, it's important, you wouldn't be able to see without it, but the real, where the vision actually takes place is in the pupil of the eye, yeah?
Well, so, what does that mean, the vision takes place? I mean, it really takes place in behind
well,
the
where
eye.
Well, where the actual image comes in, yeah. The image
window.
Comes
window through, itself. Through yeah. The yeah. People.
So you could have a lens, the aperture is basically just like the gvul of the lens, the boundary of the lens, yeah? But we always look at, I don't think there'd be anybody, you'd ask 100 people to describe so-and-so's eyes, I don't think anyone would just say black. No one. Yeah?
When they say the eyes are the window to the soul, and you look at somebody's eyes and you see that, you feel like you see their soul. I think we're not talking about, I think when you're looking at somebody's eyes, you're looking at the kindness that comes from their eyes, the softness, the emotion that's being expressed by the eyes, and I think that's being expressed by... Not just even the...
That's the fun, the whole pun.
That's the part of the face that the eyes rested in, really.
Yeah.
When you're looking at someone's eyes, you're looking at the black. You're not looking at the color, but you notice the color, but you're looking, when you're putting face to face to somebody, you're looking what your face is there, but they're black.
It's a guy.
Hey, Wes, we already did it 3 times.
So...
Rewind it.
So I'll tell you, I'm dealing with a really difficult thing right now, with not in my life, with somebody else, unfortunately, who I'm going to change the names, obviously, and I'm going to change a lot of the details, just so that no one gets Hilchus Lashon Hara compromised. That there's a lady who's... For all intents and purposes, gone mad, yeah? Everyone thinks she's nuts. She has psychosis. She has, voices going on in her head One of them is Hashem, and one of them is a big Rebbetzin figure she feels she has a psychic connection with. Yeah, and she's dealing with these two voices, you know. And she's married to a man, a professional man, who's, for all intents and purposes, looks like the perfect person. He's like one of these guys who he's always, yeah, he's a doctor, he's always, he says the right joke at the right moment, he's all put together, he's a big Talmud Chacham, he learns, he's like the perfect person, yeah? And she's gone mad, and just recently she actually called the police and said that she was raped by him, and he went to jail for a few days, and the whole it was a real bad matzah. So she came to our house just before that happened. We hadn't seen her for many years. My wife knew her for a long time ago, and just before that happened, she came to her house and she kind of told us what's going on in her mind. She's a very choshev person, and I try not to be judgmental, so I just listened, and I don't know if I validated her, but I definitely didn't invalidate her, you know. And fine. So my husband came to my house for Shabbos after we got out of jail, yeah. And so I spent a whole Shabbos with the guy. Yeah, the guy's the most lovely, wonderful person you could meet. And the people who are involved, the few people who are involved in this story, basically the way I understand it is this guy, I'm going to call him Shloimi. His name's not Shloimi, but I'll call him Shloimi. This guy, Shloimi, is basically this perfect person who's going through this tremendous Nisayon with his wife, who has a psychosis that she's had for 5 or 6 years, and unbelievable what he's going through. She won't go and get help. It's all, yeah.
She thinks she's not psychotic? You know, when she speaks, she's not speaking third person, like, I'm a healthy woman and this is what's going on? Or
she seems very, well. She runs that, like, now she's running the house very efficiently. She's great with the kids. She's just, if you talk to her and you probe, she'll tell you about the fact that she has psychic connection with this Rebbetzin. Yeah, she's very, no, you wouldn't think there's anything wrong at all. And in fact, a lot of people don't even know there is anything going on with her. She's not, she doesn't appear to be psychotic, yeah? So a guy came to my house, and there's a few issues. But one issue that I noticed was that he kept, Sar and Oynesh was really real to him. I could say things like, you know, having a conversation here, like, listen, do you think when I go to Shemayim that they're going to, you know, that's going to be a mark against me? He said a bunch of things like that, you know, but more like very, it was very weird because I never hear anyone talk about Sar and Oynesh anymore. No one really, in my, the people that I meet, it's not even a, but he was very caught up in it. And then we started talking about Chassidus, very, very literature guy, loves learning Gemara. And I was saying to him that really Chassidus is, the whole purpose of Chassidus, or the what Chassidus is a return back to Lishma. Yeah, avoid the Lishma. And he had such a problem with that. Really like a deep issue. And I was like, I've got these series of classes, the classes that you're listening to, yeah, Journey to Selfless Self. I had these series of classes where I tried my hardest in 10 classes to kind of crystallize what is Chassidus and lay it out in a structure, you know, from Aleph to Taf, and, you know, make it very accessible. And I just said to him, listen, just listen to the class. It's 10 hours, you know, listen to it over a month or two when you're in the car, whatever it is. And he was like, at the end, he was just like, no. Not going to do that. Why? And it was very kind of disturbing for me. Why? Because when somebody is serving very obviously for pras, yeah, for reward, yeah, he's actually not serving bichlal. There's no service going on. Well, there is actually service going on. There's self-service. There's self-service going on. God just ends up, when you're serving for reward, God ends up as a kind of necessary evil that you kind of need to appease so that you can go to Gan Eden. So really, who's God? Well, it's about me going to Gan Eden. So like Reverend Noah Weinberg said, if the devil paid a higher price. But so it's not, is it now? Yeah, so that's a very, very misquoted phrase. That isn't a promise. That's not a promise, bichlal. In fact, the Moinayim says on that, from the lo lishma, you'll come to lishma. What was your question?
That was the question.
So the Moinayim says, it's metoich lo lishma, it's from your hatred of the fact that you're serving lo lishma, that you've got a chance of coming to lishma. If you're happy with serving lo lishma, and a lot of people don't even know that there's something, I mean, the amount of times, I'm sure you guys have heard it as well, the amount of times I've heard in my from life, you know, halavai, we had yiras oinesh. You ever heard such a thing? Yeah, that is the greatest insult to the Ribbono Shel Olam I could ever think of saying, because Hashem spent the past 5,500 years taking us to this point now where we don't particularly care about schar and oinesh, which means we're actually available to serve him lishma. So to say halavai we had yiras oinesh, Hashem's like, what are you talking about? I've spent the past thousands of years getting us away from that, so that now we've had all the pleasures in the world. Like think of it this way. Number one, we have no dugma of oinesh as there was in the old days. Yeah, go back 150-200 years in London, you'd see people getting, you know, Monday and Thursday getting hung, drawn, and quartered, skinned alive, dragged through the streets by horses, all kinds of, maybe in Saudi Arabia there's a shtickle of that left, yeah? But otherwise, you know, you can get kosher food in prisons. Prison just used to be like just a wet cell. That was it. So Hashem's taken away the whole yiras of malchus. There's no malchus anymore. I always remember the way that people used to speak to Donald Trump. Donald Trump in my mind was like the emperor figure, the old classic, like Ahasuerus kind of figure, yeah? And listen to how the press used to speak to him when he was president. It was a joke.
Very esteemed.
Yeah, like, well, you can't talk to an emperor like that. You'd be, in a few years ago, you would be immediately shechted in a revolting way, made it last for days and days. It would be, you know. So Hashem's kind of taken that whole year away from us, yeah? And now mitzad schar, yeah? I always say it's fine, because I know a lot of wealthy people in Chicago, and I've said this over and over, is that the problem of being wealthy is that you know that money doesn't answer any serious issues at all. It pays the rent, and after that, it doesn't actually help that much. Poor people are happy or live in the illusion that when they're rich, everything's going to be okay. Rich people have had that illusion taken away from them. They know that that's not how it goes. Yeah, all the big problems, like I say, money can't buy you anything valuable. Yeah, it can't buy you relationships with your wife, with your children. It can't buy you good health. It can't buy you good feeling inside. It can't buy you anything really valuable. Yeah. So a wealthy person has had that illusion taken away. They can delude themselves. They can do things to push those thoughts away. But you know, at the end of the day, if you've got a lot of money, that money is not the answer to the problems that everyone has. Yeah.
The problem is a lot of wealthy people. I've met a lot of wealthy people who just want to be wealthier and have dreams that that's going to be.
Ah, so there you go. The same idea. There you go. Yeah. It'll be better when they've become a trillionaire.
Yeah.
That's exactly. The next step. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So take that idea with pleasure. We've overdosed on pleasure in our generation. We experience more pleasure on a regular day than the emperors of Mitzrayim. Yeah, the emperors of Mitzrayim, when they wanted to go somewhere, they had to go in like a horse and buggy thing, and they're like there the whole way. Yeah, it might look nice with gold and stuff, but it's hot and they're schwitzy and they're like that. Yeah, we go in a car with air conditioning. You know, Yitzi Katz's car has got air conditioning in the seats. Yeah, so Yitzi Katz's car's also got a thing around your neck that warms your neck in the Yitzi Katz. You know, yeah. So. So we're not fooled anymore by pleasure. Just like that really rich person, unless he's delusional and thinks that the more money he's going to get, the better it's going to get. That's just ridiculous. Yeah, anybody who thinks for a minute pleasure is also, who cares at the end of the day? How much more pleasurable is the cake going to get? How much more pleasurable is the holiday going to get? How much more luxurious is the car going to be? Who, you know what I'm saying? Who cares? I think that's, this is my own thing. I think that's the reason why people take a picture of their food a lot on social media. Because they're like, just me getting pleasure from this isn't really enough. It's not really that important that I get pleasure. Everybody else should see something, you know what I'm saying? It's like people are becoming aware of that idea for the first time ever, because it was all about survival for so many years. Everyone was just trying to survive. So the idea of you buy your kid an orange, I heard Chase Tao talking about this, 100 years ago, you'd buy your child an orange for their birthday, the fruit, an orange, and the kid wouldn't eat it because he just was so enamored by the fact that he got given a piece of fruit for his birthday. What would you have to buy for your child now to get more than a, wow, thanks?
A plane.
For how long would that give them a wow for? Exactly. It's like there's nothing you could, there's like, what more, where is there to go now? So they're searching for all the new pleasures and the wacky things. You see it everywhere. It's just pasha. So it's like Hashem spent the past millennium taking us away from the inyan of Sar and Oynesh, which means we're now available to serve for a reason more than Sar, more than pleasure, which is called Lishma. So anyway, let's go back to the story. So this guy who's talking about Sar and Oynesh a lot, yeah, it was disturbing to me, because what really happens, is, let's go back to the eye, yeah? We've got the iris and we've got the pupil, like we spoke about before, yeah? The iris is colourful and individual by everybody, yeah? And the pupil just looks the same in everyone. Everyone's got the same pupil, yeah? So obviously, immediately, you're attracted to the iris as opposed to the pupil. The pupil's very kind of low-key. He's just looking like a little black circle. Nothing to look at here. And the iris is like, look at me, flashing lights and colours and textures and all kinds of different things going on. That's what's called your name. There's you and your name. You have a name. You're not your name. You have a name. A good way, if you really want to like summarise, get it clear in your head, is to say that your name is everything that you have. Now, obviously, you have a car, you have a wife, you have maybe you have a wife. I don't know. That's presumptuous. You have a house and you have belongings and stuff like that. Yeah, but you also have emotions. Yeah, you also have an intellect. You also have a personality. These are not things that you are. These are things that you have. Who's the one who has the personality? Or lack thereof, however it goes. Who's the one who has the sense of humour? Who's the one who has the kindness? Who's the one who has the chokhmah? Who's the one who has the seichel? You with me?
Yourself.
No, you have. You're the one who has all those things.
How would you define the keli? What's the keli?
You could call it that. Yeah, you could call the name your the kli.
The name?
What?
That holds the name of all my yeshus.
So what? So we say at the end of Eleinu, yeah, B'yomu yeh Hashem Echad u'Shmo Echad, that he and his name will be one. What are we talking about there? We said that every day for how many thousands of times have we said that? What does it mean that on that day he will be one and his name will be one? And this is one of the...
Names.
Sorry?
And which name is it referring to? Hashem has many names.
It says the shame. All those names are really part of one name. He has one name, which is called Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, and all the other names are facets of that, in a sense. So, his name really could be... Why was the Baal Shem Tov called the Baal Shem Tov? The Baal Shem Tov. The master of the good name. What's the... I mean, maybe we mentioned it before.
His name was Yisrael.
His name is Yisrael,
yeah. Is that because his name is Yisrael?
Sorry?
Is it because the Shem Yisrael is a good name?
By understanding the word good, you'll understand. What does the word good mean? Anyone has a translation for the word good?
Or
Toiv. What?
Or was called Toiv.
Oh, or with an Aleph over Aleph.
That's
light.
The shame of
Or.
Was.
Sorry?
Appropriate,
that's good. So
right,
exactly.
That's good. That's good.
It's appropriate.
Yeah.
So the translation that I got for Toiv from my Rebbe that I've seen in many places now is transparent. Toiv means transparent, not opaque, or not even translucent. Mama's transparent, which means it's not noticeable. Like you look out a window, yeah, and you notice the view. You think about the window. The window is just, you don't notice your glasses, do you? You look through them. Yeah, Toiv doesn't bring any attention to itself. Toiv is transparent. So he was the Baal Shem Toiv. He was the master of the name that was Toiv. Meaning, everything that he had, including his behavior, was transparent to who he was. There was no disconnect between what he did, what he had, same thing, and who he was. That's mamash chassidus. That's when the name becomes transparent to who you are. That means that you are acting absolutely in accordance to who you are. What's it called if the name is different to who you are?
Conflict.
Huh?
Conflict.
Conflict in Hebrew.
Ra.
One word.
Purity.
Ra would be the word that you'd use to describe that name. But what's the matzav of when someone's name is Ra? Yeah, when someone's name is translucent or opaque, and it's not allowing himself to shine through, there's a disconnect between what he does and who he is.
Hero.
Hero.
Hester.
Hester.
Schizo. Schizophrenic.
That's called Gullus. That's called Gullus. That's what we mean when we say that the Shekhinah's in Gullus. So what's Hashem's name? Hashem's name is creation. All of creation. All of creation, that's called Hashem's name. Yeah, you could think of that as his goof in a sense, even though he doesn't have a goof. So when his name is different to him, that's called Gullus. That's when Am Yisrael in Gullus. Yeah, the Shekhinah's in Gullus. Yeah, we're looking forward to us coming out of Gullus. Yeah, but the Ikkar of Gullus is Hashem's coming out of Gullus. Why? He was meyached his malchus with us, with Am Yisrael. What does that mean? He was meyached his malchus with us. What's malchus? If we have the six emotions, chesed, gevurah, tefilah, netzach, yesod, what's malchus?
Dibur.
Yeah. Dibur, that's a chelik of malchus. Machshava, dibur, machshava, dibur, ma'aseh, behavior. Malchus is behavior. Malchus is the kli through which the emotions are expressed. Emotions have to express themselves through either, we said this last week, through either thought or speech or action. If there is no corresponding thought, speech or action, which is called levushim, yeah, garments. If there is no corresponding thought, speech or action to some kind of emotional something, yeah, that's called suppression and that's going to cause problems. Okay, it's going to feel uncomfortable and it's going to cause problems later on. It needs to have expression. It's almost impossible to actually suppress emotions. They will come out sometime. You know, they will come out. So what does it mean? He was miyached. Hashem was miyached his malchus with Am Yisrael. He, so to speak, handed his malchus to us. What does that mean?
He gave it to us to bring it back up to the Kabbalistic level, Malchus back up to all the way to the top. Right? It's for us, the idea is for us to bring Malchus out and everything.
So it's more simple. That's not, that's like very, so that's more
kind of complex. Expression.
What?
Our behavior is the translucent or not translucent expression of Hashem's.
If I was to hand, if I was to hand, yeah, anyone's teenage children, they do, they see them doing something that's like completely against their nature. Like my kids are very Israeli, you know, and my, you know, my older kids will be very confrontational. That's not my, I'm not, that's not particularly my nature. When you see a child behaving in a way that doesn't go with who you are, how do you feel? You have to answer that. That, in a sense, not ultimately, you have been miyached your malchus with your child. What does that mean? Meaning that their behavior is a chelik of your expression. That Hashem was miyached his malchus with us means, what's Hashem's behavior? Tayyab mitzvahs. The Tayyab mitzvahs is Hashem's behavior. In his infinite humility, he handed his behavior over to Klal Yisrael. Meaning that his behavior, like if I'm angry, I can go outside and scream, yeah? In his ultimate humility, he left that going outside to scream to Am Yisrael to do for him. That's his trust in Am Yisrael. That's what the mitzvahs are. The mitzvahs are his behavior. So his emotions, so to speak, are expressed to Am Yisrael being Shem of Azacha, the Tayyad Mitzvahs of Torah. You with me?
Yes.
It's clear, yeah? That's the responsibility of Am Yisrael. They're not your mitzvahs. They're his mitzvahs. They're not for your self. They're not for your tikkun, yeah? And I know there's Rishonim and Chazals that sound like that, but that's for my Masorah. They're not for your tikkun, yeah? They are his expression. And in his infinite humility and kindness, he blessed us with the schus of being the ones that allow him to express himself in his world. So what's Gullus? Gullus is when the world, which is his name, yeah, what he has, how he behaves, is not aligned with who he is. Who he is the Tayyab Mitzvahs. So when the world is not, when Yidden aren't running with the Tayyab Mitzvahs, yeah, then he's in Gullus. His expression is being stifled. You with me? That's the Inyan. By the way, we're getting back to this guy. I'm not lost here. There's a few Hakdamas we need. Imagine taking a can of a bottle of Coke, yeah? And shaking it up like crazy, yeah? And you hold it and it's like rock solid. And it's on the Shabbos table. And you see your kid look at it and you say, don't even look at that. In fact, take it off the table, please. Yeah? It's like, no way. It's just ready to explode. That's the Inyan. That's what Gullus is. Gullus is Hashem, has all these emotions, so to speak, that need to be expressed with the Tayyad Mitzvahs. When we're not doing the Tayyad Mitzvahs, he's getting more and more pent up. And that causes what's called Haran Af. What's Haran Af? Haran Af is like letting some steam out of the nose.
A ball.
Yeah. That's that bottled up emotion coming out in Haran Af, and that causes tsaras for us, which kind of knocks us back into line, yeah? What's it called when we actually do his mitzvahs? That's called nachas ruach. Why? Nachas ruach. Ruach is emotions, yeah? So we're giving nachas to his ruach. When we're doing Torah mitzvahs, Beka Gemisra Sadim, the Gemara says, but that's why Yisrael are there to give nachas ruach to Hashem, because his expression, his behavior is through us. So when we do his mitzvahs, it's like the Coca-Cola bottle is is let out and drinks are poured for everyone. That's called Geula. That's the day that he and his name will be one. So Kol Zman, we, Am Yisrael, are not in alignment. If you want to talk about the rest of the world, the way I understand it, the rest of the world is basically just a projection, the matzav of Am Yisrael writ large. That's what the rest of the world is. So if we put ourselves together, the rest of the world will just ma'elav, look to be in order. So the day that he and his name will be one is the day that Am Yisrael are living aligned with the Torah. That's his expression. And that was the Baal Shem Tov, meaning the Baal Shem Tov, there was no disconnect. He was Bechinas Geula Mamash. He was Geula, because there was no disconnect between what he did and who he was. Now, the metaphor for that is the eye. Yeah? The what you have, or your name, is the iris. The who you are, you can't talk about that. There's no features to who you are. There's really only, you can just basically say, I am. The minute you say, I am X, yeah, you're already given that some kind of form. I am, yeah? What am I? Well, that's all to do with my name. That's now something other than me, yeah? So, when a person connects to another person on a level of name, what they're actually connecting to them is they're connecting through everything about them, but they're not connecting to them, yeah? Now, if a person's really caught up in shame, I'll explain this in greater depth in a minute, is what the shame, but the only way to the person is through their name. You can't get to them other than that. So that's the purpose of the name, meaning you can't get to the creator without creation. You can't have, there wouldn't be any relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam if there wasn't creation. So you get to the other, the actual person, through their name, yeah? But if you get caught up in their name, and that's what you become connected to, and you don't know that there's a Baal Shem there, you don't know that there's the person behind the name, yeah? That's called an Avatalu Badava. That's called a love that is dependent on something. And really, what that means is if you love your wife because she's beautiful, she's kind, she's intelligent, she's funny, she's sensitive, she's romantic, she's all these nice things, yeah? If that's why you love your wife, yeah?
Well?
That is the same kind of love as your love for pizza. Why do you love pizza if you love pizza? Because of the feeling it gives me, the what it does for me. The love of another is not the love of the things about them. In fact, you have to work really hard. If you are married to an impressive woman, yeah, you have to work really hard to not get, what's the word, seduced by her qualities. Enjoy her qualities, but remember that her qualities are the path to her. They're not something unto themselves. You know what I mean? The minute a person gets caught up in the qualities and end unto themselves, really it's become a selfish love. It's become a selfish love. And that is the difference between a relationship called front to front and back to back. A relationship in Kabbalah called panim al panim is when you're looking at the other face to face. That means it's about you. Like someone was saying, was it Joel saying? When you look at their face, when you look at their eyes, you're looking at their whole face. Yeah? Either way, that's panim al panim, meaning when you're looking, your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your children should be face to face. Meaning it's not about what I can get from you, it's about you. The best way of saying it is, how can I serve you? That doesn't mean that I just buy stuff for my kids. Most of the time it means you don't buy stuff for your kids. But anyway, but that doesn't mean just a complete, it doesn't mean you become a shmata bichlal. It means it's about you. The relationship that you have with a cab driver is back to back. Meaning, I could swap you, Mr. Cab Driver, out for any other cab driver. I couldn't care less about you. I just need to get to Catamount. You are absolutely irrelevant, yeah? And he's looking at me thinking the same thing. I just want your money. I could switch you out with any other client as well. There's no relationship there. That's called back-to-back, okay? So you've got a front-to-front relationship, which is our intimate relationships with people, and then you have our transactional relationships, our business relationships, really, that are back-to-back, that we should strive to bring them front-to-front, yeah? Every relationship should be face-to-face, unless the person's a Russian mamash. But that's the thing. Now, when somebody is in a back-to-back relationship, what actually happens is distance is created. The person who your relationship is back to feels that and distances themselves from you. Okay?
Say that again.
Front-to-front relationship brings more and more closeness. A front-to-front relationship just gets closer and without end as well, because the part of you that's connecting is Ein Sof. It's getting closer and closer and closer, and a back-to-back relationship is getting further and further and further away. So now, when a man is striving to be a good husband, that sounds like a very good thing, yeah?
From whose perspective?
Not necessarily.
I was hoping you'd say that.
What?
I was hoping you'd say that.
Yeah. See, when a person's striving to be a good husband, if he's really striving to be a good husband, then his wife has actually become irrelevant. You could switch her out with any other woman because it's about me being a good husband. You hear that? When a father's trying to be a good father, you could switch out his children with any children because it's about me being a good father. You're just who I'm practicing on. It's stark to say this, but this is Mamash the Metzius. So it's not about being a good husband. It's about your wife. Finished. It's got nothing to do with you being a good husband whatsoever. It's about your wife. It's nothing to do with you being a good father. It's about your children. That's what we have to move our mind to, and that creates a relationship. And if it's about your child, not about being a good husband, but being a good father, you will come closer and closer and closer. Ein Sof. The closeness to your children will never end. Never end. It will keep getting closer and closer and closer. And for Kerit, the other way. So now going back to the...
But if you bring it to specificness, I don't want to be a good father in general. I want to be a good father to you.
Then that's good. That's just the semantics of really it's about you. Like, I'm your father. Like, I'm not going to be your chef. I'm not going to be your chauffeur. I'm your father. It's my relationship to you, but it's about you. So it can get to be semantics. But if it's about me being the good father, I mean, everyone's seen this where you'll see people. Whatever, we know that's very difficult for the children. But it's more difficult for the wife. If the wife is experiencing a man who is desperately trying to be a good husband, she will, in the ultimate level, feel that she doesn't exist. And this is what happened with this couple I was telling you about. I saw from his connection to Schar and Oynesh, yeah, that his service is about him. His service to God is about him. And when your service of God is about you, it's almost inevitable that the man's relationship with his wife is also going to be about him. And so this was where the disconnect came that I saw from this woman. This man was completely trying to be the best husband. And by the way, there will always be moments where it will pop out that he's about himself. Yeah, it could be that if he was just trying to be the best husband for always, nothing ever, steam was never let off. So I'm not sure how that would be. But anyway, he was so self-involved that after her mother died about 5 years ago, she had no one to validate that she existed, Bichlal. So she's stuck in this crazy thing where her husband is this like perfect person who everyone loves, and she feels that she doesn't exist. And she couldn't quite pinpoint what was going on. So what did she do? She created in her mind these two voices, the father voice and the mother voice, to validate her. And she said to me, if it wasn't for those two voices, I would have killed myself. And I said to her, you realize why? Because you didn't exist. There was nothing to kill. So why not just put yourself out of your misery? There was no one there. That was the most like kind of violent situation that I saw like that, where somebody had gotten caught up in their name so deeply. See, when you're connecting to another on the level of me, that means you're not actually connected to you, you're connected to your name. Because the you doesn't actually need anything. Your you is perfect. So when you're connected to who you truly are, then your relationship, not only with your children and your wife, or with everyone, will become, how can I serve? When a person actually mistakes himself for his name, and his name is a chisaron, how did Hashem create the world? The Sefer Yetzirah says he was choikek. He scratched out. So imagine you have this perfect rock, yeah? A perfect round rock. It's one, yeah? It's one. A rock is one. You take out some kind of iron, some kind of diamond drill, and you scratch out the name Shlomi. Yeah? The name now exists in the rock, but only as an extraction, only as a chesaron of the rock. And the more obvious that name is, that means the more rock was removed. You with me?
Yeah, Seres Dibros are like that.
What?
Seres Dibros, right?
Yeah. Lucas. Yeah. But the Seres Dibros also were completely shakuf. You could see all the way through as well. The Inyan is that the name is actually what's chosa. People who feel, I need, yeah, they're connected to their name. Somebody who's connected to who he truly is or who she truly is not needy. They've ascended from the level of needs. Now, if you don't have any needs, what's your relationship with the other going to look like? How can I serve? You know what I mean? It's this is the whole Inyan. So this man was so deeply connected to his name, and therefore his relationship to his wife was exclusively about him. How can I be the best husband is a din on being mushy in the name. Everyone's with me on this? I know it's been built a lot of pieces together. Yeah? So now, because of the fact that she's a very sensitive person, she was feeling so non-existent that she actually went into a psychosis. She actually went, in a sense, crazy to allow her to continue to exist. It was her ego, it was her name, so to speak, doing what it needed to do to allow her to continue to exist. And I said this to her yesterday. And she was like, for the first time ever, she entertained the thought that those two voices were something that she has actually created. She agreed with this 100%. So now, to bring it back, we said that really the idea of the accurate expression of who you are, yeah, is called Nachas Ruach. That's when it's funny, because the more real you become, the more pleasurable life gets. It's the opposite of what you might think. Meaning the more real you become, I was talking to Shmuel before about this idea of bittul, yeah? People are like, bittul, like, I don't exist, I don't exist, which is really like, has a very bad, lots of people have a hard time with that. But when you actually deeply connect to who you are, as opposed to your name, then you just become needless. And you actually become really needed by everybody else. You become essential. And that's what the Manus says over and over, is people don't need to be loved. To hear that God loves you is almost kind of an insult. What you really need to hear is that God needs you. But not needs you, now this is going to bring it all back. Not needs you as in he has some kind of utilitarian purpose for you, but needs you in the way that you need your children. You don't need your children for something, you just need your children. Your life is not complete without your children. Take one of your children. I remember one time we went on a family outing, one of my kids couldn't come. We have a bunch of kids. And it was just, it was like 10%. It wasn't I was missing 10%. It was I only had 10%. I was, you with me? That you need your child, not for something, but you just need your child. Like, you need your baby. What do you need your baby for? You don't need your baby for anything at all, but you need your baby. And if your baby was taken away from you, chas v'shalom, you would be broken. That's the inyan of being needed by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why? Because he was miyachid his malchus with us. And every single yid has their chelik in Torah and the mitzvahs that they need to perform. And that's exactly the inyan of our nachas from our children. Why do you get nachas from your children? It's when they behave correctly. Good behavior gives you nachas. Why? Because that's you, like the Coca-Cola bottle again, like going, ksh, like the sound that the old fat men make when they sit in the mikveh, you know, like the bus. I love that sound. I make it a little bit myself, but that's the inyan of nachas ruach, and that's why nachas ruach is loshen ne'er nun reish. What's the kesher between ne'er and nachas ruach, which is Hanukkah? What's the inyan of Hanukkah? Swinisim. Where are you mafase? Where are you mafase in the nase?
Outside.
In the what?
Outside.
In the Rishus HaRabim.
Yeah.
Outside, in the lowest place in the Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because the ultimate expression, when you're feeling strong emotions, yeah, thinking about it, if you're really feeling in a good place with your wife, and you're just overwhelmed with your love for your wife, yeah? We should all be zeicher to these feelings. Yeah? Thinking about it hardly does any good whatsoever. In fact, it usually feeds back and makes it even stronger, yeah? Talking about it is that's a big start. That helps a lot, yeah? That really helps a lot. But actually doing something, that's where the biggest expression is. Going and buying her a gift or going and doing something for her very nice is worth much more than saying, I love you, as long as it's coming from a real place of expressing emotions. Not that you shouldn't say I love you also, but for your own release of emotions, the ultimate level, the ultimate kind of takes place through Maisa. Yeah? And that's the inyan of Ner Hanukkah. That's the inyan of the expression in the lowest place, in the darkest lowest place, which is the level of Maisa in Olam HaMaisa. That's the, you don't write Tichel Regel Min HaShuk. It's all to do with the feet. Regel Min HaShuk. The Shuk is the outside. So the Ner Hanukkah, in the middle of the winter, in the darkest place, lighting that Ner, which is really the mitzvah, the inyan of mitzvah, yeah, that's why you put it on the Pesach on the other side of the mezuzah, and you're filled with, yeah, it's all the inyan of mitzvah. Ne mitzvah Torah. That is the release, so to speak, in the lowest level. And that's why Hanukkah is such a whatever for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Because it's in the darkest time in the winter, in the darkest place outside, at the darkest hour, yeah, and low down on the floor, mamash. And that's where the ner, which is the mitzvah. Why is the ner mitzvah? So we're going in a different direction now for a minute, if you want. But that's really a complete idea. That's really the complete idea. That the ner Hanukkah is the expression, like we said, the expression, but the ultimate expression, because really the most powerful expression is the most visceral, which is Maisa, and in the lowest place, etc.
Itsy cats.
Any questions? What you said? It's clear?
Clark.
You want to just go over it quickly again?
Yeah.
Just by the way, is that tangentially... On a Friday, yeah.
The coach of the hood, like the lowest of the left hand side, like mamash, like
that's a bonfire on the floor, mamash.
Like bonfire, coach of the hood also.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Say lagbar, coach of the hood is a bonfire on the floor. So by Shabbos, you have all the halachas of the shemen and the psilus. Yeah, By Hanukkah, the shemen becomes much more relaxed, and the psilis also, you can use much lesser quality psilis, wicks. By Lag BaOmer, you make a bonfire on the floor, mamash. The Ner Shabbos needs to be quite high, yes, because Shalom Bayis. Ner Hanukkah is quite low, and Lag BaOmer is a bonfire on the floor. It's the same menu.
It's the same thing. You should light the menorah on the right hand side. I heard the same thing. Why do we hold the menorah? It should be lit on the right hand side. We go to the left hand side.
Absolutely.
And underneath
the left is also lower. Very good. Exactly the same minyan. Exactly the same minyan. So just to end this point, and then we'll talk for a minute for about the mitzvah being a candle, and then we'll finish. Is when you bench your children on Friday night, I recommend this very strongly. You heard me say this on the tape, yeah? When you bench your children on Friday night, is look deeply into their eyes. Hold their head and just stare right into their eyes as deep as you can. And then this is the chiddush, is you see yourself reflected in the black part, not in the iris. In the essence of who they are, that's you. And that's why, by the way, Yaakov loved Yosef because he was Ben Zakunim, yeah? That's what the pasuk says last week. Two parshas ago, and told us, three parshas ago, what was Yitzhak's love for Esav called? Kitzayed Befiv. Yeah? And Rivka, Oyheves Es, not past, present tense, Oyheves Es Yaakov. Yeah? Yitzhak loved Esav inside Befiv because he had trapping in his mouth. Everyone understand that, yeah? And Rivka loved Yaakov with no reason. So the question comes out, how comes it was that Yosef's brothers were jealous of him? Well, Yaakov wasn't jealous of Esav. Yitzhak loved Esav, who was a Russia, more than Yaakov. And there's no union of Yaakov with Kina towards Esav. Whereas Yaakov loved Yosef more than the other brothers. And he was a big tzaddik, so it might make sense to the other brothers like that. But they had a big Kina towards him. What's pshat? Hear the question?
Yeah.
Hear the question? Mm-hmm. So the reason is, just as everything what we've just said, because Yitzhak's love was kitzayed befiv, it was an ava talui bedava. It wasn't a real love. That's not love. Rivka's love for Yaakov was a real love. Why did she love him? She's his mother. She loves him. For what reason? Like, why does the mother love the child, the baby? There's no reason why you love the baby. I can give you a million reasons not to love the baby. Yeah, I don't have one. Oh, it's cute. That's not why you love the baby. You love the baby. It's just, that's how it is. Yeah, that's a real love. So Yaakov wasn't jealous of Esav because there was nothing to be jealous of. There was no real love there. And the brothers were jealous of Yosef because there was a real love there. But the pasuk says ki ben zakunim hu, that he loved him because he was a ben zakunim. That sounds like an avatalu bedava. That Yaakov loved Yosef because he was a son of his old age. That's a reason, though.
That's a reason.
In other words, is it that because he's old, and maybe that he had Yosef when he was old, he was more patient, you know?
Was it about him? Was it about the son?
Beard Duke. Meaning, no, it was about him, but in the way you're saying it, like this. That this is what Bechira really is. This is the Indian of the Dreidel, by the way. This is what Bechira really is, if I've understood it. Is that Bechira is, if you've got a choice, somebody offers you the option. We said this before about $10 and a $100 bill. That's a good example. Somebody offers you an Aston Martin Vantage, yeah? Which is like my favorite car, yeah? Someone offers you an Aston Martin Vantage or a Ford Fiesta. Take whichever one you want, and I'll cover gas on both models and insurance, yeah? There's no choice there. You don't have Bechira. I wouldn't have Bechira. Yeah? Someone offers you a $10 bill or a $100 bill. There's no Bechira. Yeah, you're compelled by your seichel. Now, what about a $100 bill and a $50 bill? You're still compelled by your seichel. What about 100 single dollar bills and a 50 and two 20s? What would you think?
Pants.
100 single dollar bills?
Pants.
Yeah.
I'm saying you have a good pants on that can handle the $100 bills. I'm saying, but again, that's already...
It's a cheshbon. It's a cheshbon now. You know what I mean? So where does Bechira fall into place? You've got a guy, he says, okay, I do this Aveira, yeah, I go to Gehenna for 50 years. He genuinely believes that. Or make it even more visceral, yeah? The guy's got a wealthy father who's hired this big guy with a hammer, yeah, to hang out with him 24-7. If the kid steps out of line, he gives him a knuck on the finger, yeah? That guy's he's not going to do any Aveiras. The cheshbon is, you eat the treif, yeah, and you get the pleasure of the treif, and you get a really sore finger. Or you forgo the treif and your finger doesn't get hurt. It's a cheshbon. What's miraculous about that? You know what I mean? That's not what Bechira is. Bechira can't be spoken about. Bechira is one of the miracles of creation. Why is that miracle? The AI can also make a cheshbon, yeah? So this is what I've understood Bechira to be.
Bechira chofshis.
Bechira chofshis. So Bechira chofshis is when you see yourself in the other. I mean, you've got two identical children. They look exactly the same, yeah? And someone says to you, here, choose your child. And one of them's yours. One of them's not yours. You're choosing the one that's yours, not because of him, but it's because of you. You realize? You understand? That's going beyond shame. That's going back to Etzem. So the mitzvah, real Bechira Chofshis...
What does that mean because of me?
Real Bechira Chofshis is when there is no reason to choose. It's beyond reason. It's an expression of who I am. And what is that? That's when I see me in the other, meaning I understand the oneness.
That's not Chofshis either.
Absolutely. That's why he says, that's why it's Chofshis, meaning it's an expression of who you are. It's the free, meaning.
Yeah, that's the ultimate chofshis.
No, wait. Understand?
That's who you are.
That's who you are. You are not using your bechira chofshis when you choose to do the aveira. Bechira chofshis is only activated when you do the mitzvah or you don't do the aveira. If you do the aveira or you don't do the mitzvah, your bechira chofshis wasn't activated. It's not a choice. It's an expression of who I am. That's exactly the point. It's a free expression of who I am. It's called Geula. Like in a sense, Hashem doesn't have the. He can do what he wants, but the way he set up the system is the Torah doesn't change. He needs Shabbos. He needs Yidden keeping Shabbos. So Bechira Chofshis is an expression of him. You know what I mean? So when it comes to Ben Zakunim, that was exactly the Inyan. That's real love. Real love is not dependent on the fact that she's fantastic and she's all these good qualities. It's that you realize that your mum is one with each other. So when he said he's a Ben Zakunim, he was talking about himself. Not Saad Bafiv, yeah, that he has these qualities. It's about me that's my love is predicated on. That's true, true love. And that's almost, in a sense, random. It's random as in it has no tam vadas. And that's the inyan of the dreidel. That it's without any tam vadas. That's why, in a sense, Hashem chose us. It was like a tambola, in a sense. It was, that's the inyan of Purim, of Paraduma. And that's the inyan of Yom Kippur with the two seirim where one goes this way and one goes that way and they're indistinguishable. And it's done by a lot. So that's going back to this idea of going beyond your shame, going beyond what you have and how you act, and connecting to the who you actually are, which is formless, just like the black of the eye, is then able to have the relationship with the other. And that's why when you look into the black of your eye, the pupil of your eyes of your children, you'll see you reflected. You won't see you reflected in the iris. You won't see you reflected in the iris.
You're saying you want to see yourself. Is that ideal?
It's just that's the Metsias. You and them are one on that level of essence. That's the essentially who you are. That's essentially what you are. The black, that black part, that I am without any dot, dot, dot. Yeah? That is, when you're connected to that and you look at yourself as a Bal Achrayi, I have all this money that I can use to help Hashem. I have this personality that I can use to help Hashem. I have this way of thinking that I can use to help Hashem. I have a big heart that I can use to help Hashem. Meaning, it's not mine. I have achrayas for it. We can say it is mine, but it's there for me to give to him. As opposed to I am. I remember seeing, I saw this one time, a guy scored a touchdown in American football, yeah? And after he did, it was like a really cool, cool touchdown. And afterwards, he like started like hopping on his legs, pointing at his legs, like that. I was like, "Wow, you think you're your legs? That's a rahmanas. Like, that's so crazy. Imagine a man, a guy who thinks it's his car. It happens all the time. He gets mixed up with his possessions. They become him. Yeah, that's very common." But even more common is a person getting mixed up with their thoughts or their personality, where they think that's them. Your personality is a gift that was entrusted to you by the Rebbeinu Shloim to use in his service. It's not yours. It's an achrayus that you have. Your personality, your children, your family, all of it is that, because you become nevus. When you connect to really who you are, what you are, there's no, you've become godly. That's called being Ish Anav Ma'oid. So the reflection in the eye is the Inyan of Ben Zakunim, which is the Inyan of an Ava She'ena Talyu B'Dava, which is La'olam. It will always last forever. Now, this is the final point. I'm not actually going to explain it because I remember I wanted to say this. This is a really important point, which I learned just a couple of days ago from Avhas, which blew my mind.
It's the ultimate
Ayah
Sharia.
That's
the
ultimate what?
Ayah Sharia. Hashem said his name is. I am
what I am. Yeah. And that's, by the way, the pupil of the eye in Hebrew is called? Ishon.
Ishon?
Yeah. We say it when we go to bed. Hamapil. The Ishon, the bas ayin, the black part is called the Ishon, meaning the Ish. That's the mensch. That's the mensch. The stuff around it is the name. The actual black part is the Ishon. The more you can relate to yourself in that sense, the more, not that you're doing it for this reason, you're doing it for just because that's reality, but the more you can relate to yourself beyond shame, yeah, the more everything falls into place. Everything falls into place. Because that's what Hashem wants us to do. He wants us to get connected to who we are, as opposed to get caught up in what our name is. Because really it's his name. He's the Baal Hashem. So just to now plug this in a really wondrous level, yeah? We'll talk a little bit Kabbalistic for a minute, okay? But if you're not familiar with the terms, don't be afraid of them. We'll try to explain as best we can. That we have the Inyan of Ze'ampin, yeah, which we call Zah. We have the idea of, we say in the before, we say the Shem Yichud before we do a mitzvah, L'achein Shem Yudkei, V'valkei B'yichud, Shem Shem Yudkei, Kudsha Brichu Shchintei. Yeah? To be Miyachei, the Kodesh Baruch with the Shechina. If you say, anyone says the Yihiratzon before lighting the candles, it says that in the Yihiratzon, it always talks about the Shem, L'achein Shem Yudkei, V'valkei B'yichud, Shem Shem Yichud Shlim B'Shem, how is that? Yeah, the beginning of it. The Shem Yichud Kudsha Baruch Shchintei. That's the avoid of us. To be miyached, to bring together in Zivug, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shechina. Okay? when you're talking in terms of Kabbalah, that is called a Zivug of Zoin. Yeah? Ze'ampin, which we call Zah, and Nuk. Nukva, feminine, which is called Malchus, which is called the Shechina. So Ze'ampin, which translates as the small face, listen to how this is going to tie everything in beautifully. It's so special. That It's called the small face, and it's called a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yeah? Malchus, Nekeva, is called the Shechina. So the whole Avoda, it's also called Yisrael and Rochel, and Torah and Knesset Yisrael. There's lots of different names. It's always alluding to different facets of the same Indian, yeah? Bringing together Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Shechina. Why Zah called Kodesh Baruch Hu? Kudsha Brichu. So Rav Haas explains like this. That it's three words. HaKadosh, Baruch, and Hu. Yeah? It's referring to, HaKadosh is referring to Abba and Imma, which is Chochmah Bina, which is the immediately above Zah. Baruch is referring to Arich, Arich Ampin, which is the long face, which is a level above Abba and Imma. And Hu is referring to Ein Sof. Yeah? So on a simple level, the three madregas above Zeh Anpin, HaKadosh is Abba and Imma, Baruch is Arich, and Hu is Ein Sof. We call Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's weird, no? Zeh is neither HaKadosh, he's not Baruch, and he's not Hu. But we call him HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the three levels above him, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah? Why? Because Zah is completely bottled to those levels above him. So what is Zah? Zah is a manifestation, an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of Abba and Imma being expressed, so expressing Arich, which is expressing Ein Sof. That's what Zah is. It's an expression of Ein Sof down through the Madregas, and it's now becoming expressed through Zeh Anpin. That's why it's called a small face. Face means that's what you are. Your face. You're the face, yeah? You're the Panim. But it's the small one because you can have some kind of relationship to it. Yeah? And that's whenever we say Atah, which we say all the time, Baruch Atah Hashem, yeah? Whenever we say Atah, you Hashem, we are talking to Ein Sof through Zeh Anpin. That's understanding on a technical Kabbalah way. You know what I mean? Now listen.
I'm saying I heard a lot of these terms and I don't really know what they mean, but
nor do I. But okay. It doesn't matter. All we're saying like this is that the problem is the words they get. People when they hear the word Zah or Zeh Anpin, they're like, can't, I don't know. Yeah, so like just they're just words. Yeah? So Zeh Anpin is just an expression of the three levels above that, the highest level being Ein Sof.
Yeah.
You're happy with that, yeah?
Yeah.
So why is it called Zeh Anpin, the small face? Because it's the face. It's really Hashem, but it's small, so you can have a relationship with it. You can't relate to Abba Im, you can't relate to Arich, you for sure can't relate to Ein Sof, yeah? So it all comes down, and it's called Zeh Anpin, meaning it's mamash the face. It's really Hashem, yeah, but it's small. So you can have some kind of relationship, and that you can call you. Now this is the craziest thing, yeah? Is that we're speaking about your name. And we're talking about you, yeah? The person and the name. We're sitting face to face. I haven't mentioned anyone's name in the past hour and a half. Why? What? Yitzchak, except Yitzchak. Good. Excellent. Because when we're face to face, we go beyond name and we use the word you because we're referencing the person, not the name. You only need to call someone by name when either they turn their back to you or they're in a different room or they're somewhere else. You're face to face, you speak to the person as you. But now this is the crazy irony of the whole thing. Irony, the paradox, I don't know what you call it, but listen to this, it's amazing. Before you get to being confused with your possessions, which is really, really garua, yeah, that's mamash, to identify with your possessions, yeah? What's the furthest thing from you without going to that crazy world of getting caught up in your possessions? Huh?
What was the question, sir?
What's the furthest thing from you that you could get confused as being you? with not
child.
Being,
like, you see my skin?
Your face?
My body?
Your body. Your body, Mamish. Your body. Yeah? It depends what part of your child you get identified. If you're identified with the child themselves, then that's you. But if you're identified with the goof of the child, that's also not bad. Not so great. But you being identified with yourself as a body, yeah? I mean, anyone could lose a hand, you'd still be the same person. It doesn't affect you. It affects your body. You have a body. You're not your body. I would hope people understand that. But the only way you can say you is in front of their body. If their body isn't there, you can't say you to them. Do you hear that?
No. But that's why the term in using face, that face in my mind is what you're projecting. It's
say louder so people can hear what you're saying.
It's a projection. It's an appearance. It's not you. Your face is just what somebody's seeing.
It's meant to be an expression. It's panim. Panim means interior. That's why it's called the Misrada Panim.
English,
lower
English, English, it's face, which is facade.
Facade, exactly. That's a God joke. That's a God joke. Facade in English is face, and in Hebrew, panim is panemius. That's mamash a God joke. Yeah? But the point is, you can't say ata to the other without the goof. Do you hear that? Is anyone like tingling? I am. Yeah?
And when you're speaking to them. If you're on the phone, you still say you because you're referring to them, to their person.
Yeah. So with the telephone, it changes things a little bit.
You talk to them, that person, you're not talking about them. You don't say you unless you're talking to the person.
That's exactly. But without the goof there, you brought up the telephone. That's an interesting point, okay? I didn't think about that. But we've got Skype now as well, so. And Zoom. But the way that you get to the you is b'derech haguf. Just like the way you relate to Ein Sof is through Ze'ampin. But your relationship is to Ein Sof. You say you, you're talking about Ze'ampin, but you're not talking to Ze'ampin. That would be like me talking to your goof, which would be that woman who ended up feeling absolutely non-existent, which is what Hashem would feel like if we were actually talking to Ze'ampin. He would feel that he doesn't exist in our life because you're caught up in his goof. So when you're saying you're actually talking to the person themselves, but you can't get to the you without the goof. That's the whole point of creation. Creation, so to speak, is Hashem's goof, like we said. Geula is when the behavior, his behavior, Tayag Mitzvah Satorah, is happening in his world. When the Kol Zman, the Yidden, aren't living in alignment with Torah and Mitzvahs, he's like, you could say he's like in prison, or he like has Parkinson's disease or Alzheimer's, where he's got no control over his goof. He's like, Kinderlach, please, I was miyached my malchus with you. My behavior, I've given it to you. That's our responsibility as Yidden. You hear what a moiridika idea that is? It's not about you going to Gan Eden. It's not about you feeling close to God. It's not about you having meaning in your life. It's about you are the way that reality expresses itself in reality, in creation. That's what a Jew is. And that's Geula. And that's...
But you can only get there through the shame.
Only through the shame. There's only one way.
But through...
And if you get caught up in the shame, it's a shame. It's a big shame. Dun-dun-dun. Okay, so I have a Freilich and Hanukkah as well.